crazy times at the moment. 5 weeks ago, one of our players was tested positive on COVID-19. So from one day to another, all the team and the staff had to go into quarantine for 14 days.
Welcome to the First Beat Sports Podcast, where we talk with coaches and sports scientists to explore the latest in how performance monitoring is making a difference in the NCAA and pro sports alike. We're going to connect you with practical advice from the best in the business to help you take your athletes to the next level. On the line today is Martin Spohr. Martin is strength and conditioning coach at Bundesliga soccer club Eintracht Frankfurt. Among the topics Martin will discuss are implementing remote training strategies, the knock-on effects for athletes and coaches, and the role of data when working in different locations. So let's get started. Here's your host, head of First Beat Sports USA, Benjamin Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the First Beat Sports Podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little different than the usual as we focused on the impact of the coronavirus on sports and more specifically at the elite level with Bundesliga soccer club Eintracht Frankfurt. Joining us is Frankfurt strength and conditioning coach Martin Spohr. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today, Martin.
First of all, hello BJ and thanks for the invitation to talk to you here in this podcast.
All right. Before we get into the current situation, why don't you give the listeners a little background on your career to date?
Well, after finishing my study of sports science at the University of Heidelberg, I got the chance to write my thesis and work in the youth academy of Hoffenheim, where I started as a goalkeeper's coach and later also as a strength and conditioning coach in the youth academy. Hoffenheim is still a very innovative club concerning science-based education, developing youth players. So that was a great start for me and a good chance to start this coach career. Later, I changed the club to Borussia Mönchengladbach, and I was responsible for the whole youth teams from under 15 to the second team, the under 23 team of Borussia Mönchengladbach. And after 2 years of working there, I got an offer from Borussia Dortmund to work as S&C coach for the second team of Borussia Dortmund. That was in the time when Jürgen Klopp still worked there and Thomas Tuchel. And I was with David Wagen, who was the coach of the second team, who is now the head coach of Schalke 04. In summer 2016, I received a call from Niko Kovac, who was the new coach from Eintracht Frankfurt at this time. And so it came that I arrived in Frankfurt in summer 2016. So now it's my fourth season here in Frankfurt with the Bundesliga team. Now I'm working for nearly 12 years in this crazy football business. And yeah.
Okay, very cool. So you started out as a goalies coach and now you're running the strength and conditioning side.
When I was playing myself, I was a goalkeeper. And so the question from David Wagner in this Hoffenheim time was because I did the videos for my thesis and he said, hey, next season I need a goalkeeper's coach. You could do that, yeah? I said, okay, I try. Not the start, yeah. But parallel to my study, I worked already in a gym with a lot of athletes from different sports. So this strength and conditioning topic was definitely more my interest than the goalkeeping coaching.
Okay, very cool. So now we're obviously recording this in fairly unprecedented times. How exactly has COVID-19 affected the club?
Crazy times at the moment. 5 weeks ago, one of our players was tested positive on COVID-19. So from one day to another, all the team and the staff had to go into quarantine for 14 days. As S&C coaches, we're talking about this scenario the days before because other teams had positive players before us. We were not really surprised that we had the same scenario, so we were a bit prepared by charging all the heart rate monitors and bringing the first beat bells to the players. So we were prepared for this home training time.
Okay, so you at least had a few days warning kind of before it really hit.
We didn't have a warning, but we thought about this scenario. So, you know, when you work with a football team, you have to care for the charging of the heart rate monitors and everything. And so we did that before we received the information that we have to go into quarantine.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's lucky you guys were so proactive, kind of staying on that topic. So how are you keeping up with the athletes? Do you have some type of a program for the remote training?
Well, yeah, from one day to another, as I told you, we had to stay in the home office. Yeah, and we had a strict quarantine for 14 days, so we couldn't go outside and do anything. The club organized for every player a bike ergometer that was delivered to the player's home. And they got their heart rate monitors and first aid belts home. We were in contact with them by phone or WhatsApp calls or whatever. training information, the training program was uploaded on our internal communication system. And yeah, so they received all the information they needed for this 2 weeks remote training.
Okay, great. So one of the hardest things these days is kind of missing out on those little cues you get from interacting with the players, seeing how they're doing and talking with them. How important has the internal load data become to you now that you can actually see and meet with them?
Yeah, definitely. It is more important because you don't have any tracking data if you sit on the bike the whole day. The First Beat Mobile app was very important for us to see the load and also reflect our training program. Unfortunately, our quarantine came too early for the new app where the players can synchronize their trainings themselves. So we had to synchronize the belts after they returned to the stadium. But for the next off season, we will definitely try to use that new tool and to be able to have the athletes to synchronize their belts directly in the training area. So after we synchronized the belts and checked all the load of the remote training programs, we felt that our plan was not so bad for these 2 weeks. So the internal load of every player was okay for this time, yeah.
So you were mentioning guys on the bikes, but I've also seen a few remote coaching video workouts that you've posted on your social media channels with some interesting equipment as far as using mops and some full cases of beer. Tell me a little bit more about these.
Yeah, first of all, I have to say we had also serious training videos for the players. So as you know, not all players have a home gym or gym equipment in their houses and flats. So our idea was to give them a plan with exercises they're used to and they can easily perform at home with things of daily life, like cases of water bottles, loaded backpacks, everything you have at home. And we made a video with this plan, with these exercises. And the other thing was, it was in the beginning, it was a joke, like a bit comedy. I always watched the videos on social media of the players and these fitness influencers, and I couldn't stand them anymore with their sissy workouts there. And I told my wife, hey, I have to do a raw video. So I put on a heavy metal t-shirt, took a full loaded case of beer and did a whole body workout. I normally perform that with a barbell, but the feedback on this video was so crazy and positive that I kept on creating beer cases workouts in the quarantine days. But happy that I finally can use the barbell again.
Yeah, I got to say, I love that idea. And I think we all needed a break from all those videos. So you definitely brought a breath of fresh air. But then I also have a serious question about this now that we're on the subject. Are there any other beers that you approve them doing workouts with besides the Steigl or the Kronbacher?
It's funny because for the workouts, I always needed two full cases, so I ordered a lot of other beer cases in this time so that I had two full for the training.
Okay.
But I don't want to make any commercial here for beer.
Yeah. All right, that's a good safe answer. And I think a follow-up that I also have to ask, have you had any beer fatalities? Were there any broken bottles of beer during your workouts?
No.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, so do you have any advice for S&C coaches listening who are trying to introduce remote workouts for their athletes?
If you don't want to do live video training sessions like some other coaches did with the whole team, we decided to give them a plan they can do and anytime they want. So some want to do the workout in the morning, some have children at home and it's better for them they do it when the children are sleeping. So we decided to give them this video programs and a plan for the bike program. A good advice is, I think, to keep the plans as simple as possible and try to stay in contact with the athletes, to get a feedback about their perceived load, their well-being, if they have problems. So in these 14 days, we were still we were in contact with all the players. They called us if they had a problem, or we called them, how are you? And stay in contact and stay in touch. A good communication, trustful exchange between the coach and the athlete is one of the most important things.
It sounds like the communication was just as important or more important than the actual workout plans you provided.
Yeah, also to keep them motivated in the home gym. There are guys who run crazy if they have to stay at home 14 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Sit on the bike and do nothing outside. For me, it was not so tough to lie on the couch.
And yeah, before everything shut down, so Frankfurt was one of the last teams to play a competitive match, which happened in an empty stadium. What was that experience like to have over 50,000 empty seats there?
Honestly, yeah, it was horrible. Perhaps because, especially in our home stadium, where we often won tough matches in the past, just because of this crazy crowd and the support of our fans and the sometimes a bit scary atmosphere for our opponents. Yeah? The game we had to play without supporters was this EuroLeague quarterfinal. But for me on the bench, it felt like a friendly match in the winter training camp, for example. Yeah.
Oh, so you really lost that kind of home field advantage.
I'm already looking forward to the day when we play in front of a full stadium.
Yeah, I can understand that. Your sporting director, Freddy Bobic, recently said he'd be prepared to play games every day to get the season finished. What's your thoughts on that as the strength and conditioning coach?
Yeah, well, I think it's unrealistic to play every day a Bundesliga game. But then you need 50 players and change the team every day. But the management of all the Bundesliga clubs have a very hard job at the moment. So they're responsible for a lot of people working in the clubs and in this business. And yeah, if this goes, games will start. At the moment, there are rumors that we will start in the middle of May, perhaps in the end of May. We have to accept it, although we don't like these ghost games. I don't know if that's the right word or the right expression in English. In Germany, we say Geisterspiele without supporters. But we have to accept that and adapt to this special situation, and we'll try to be prepared and give our best when we start again.
All right. Good deal. Okay, let's go ahead and do the quick fire round. So I'm going to fire some questions at you, and I hope to get some answers. So your sporting hero growing up?
There was not only one sporting hero in my youth. I played tennis, I did track and field, I was football goalkeeper, so I had different athletes I admired. Yeah, one for each sport, I would say. Stefan Edberg for tennis.
Yep.
Daley Thompson for track and field, and the young Oliver Kahn before he went to Bayern Munich or Karlsruhe. I like the way he and the passion he played.
Okay, so guilty music pleasure.
It's also difficult because I listen to a lot of different styles of music. Most of the time, definitely listen to classic hard rock.
All right, biggest mentor in your career?
Sad, but he's already dead. My former sport psychologist, Professor Hans Eberspecher, he was a pioneer in the mental training, and I had him all the time at the university. That was one of my big mentors. Later, I met a lot of good coaches. You can learn from every coach you have in your career. But Martin Savia, he is a former world-class weightlifter from Germany. He was at the Olympics in Seoul and had the bronze medal. I learned a lot of weightlifting stuff and strength training. He's a great coach. So perhaps those two were the most influencing persons in my coaching career. As I told you, I had a lot of great coaches here.
All right. And favorite TV show?
Sport show. You don't know that probably. It's a German Saturday evening sports show with all the match highlight videos from Division 3 to the Bundesliga. So in 2 hours, you get all the highlights from these three leagues.
Just nonstop highlights from the football matches.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm sure this would be a challenge for you since you had the three sports. If you could go pro in one sport, which one would it have been?
Although I never played it, I think rugby would have been my favorite sport. But I grew up in a region where no rugby teams were around. So we had Olympic wrestling in our town. We had volleyball. We had tennis, soccer. Mm-hmm. Later, when I came in touch with the rugby players at my university time, I thought, if I'd grown up with rugby, probably rugby would have been my sport. I like the fighting spirit and the fair play attitude of the players. And yeah, probably with my body size would have been a good rugby player.
Yeah, I was going to say your body type would automatically make you a pretty solid player there. All right, chosen superpower.
Chosen superpower. I think flying around like a bird would be quite cool.
Yeah, I agree. Winning Bundesliga or the Europa League?
Definitely Bundesliga. In Germany, the Bundesliga is the most valuable title you can win. We won the cup in 2018 against Bayern Munich. What was a big surprise in that day. That was really cool. But winning the Bundesliga is definitely the greatest goal in German
All right, let's go ahead and flip over to the first beat side of things. It's always interesting to hear how different teams in different sports use the technology. So if we assume you're able to train normally, kind of how are you using the system on a daily or a weekly basis?
Fourth season, we use first beat for monitoring our training load and intensity. This time I learned a lot about and with the system, so that I'm now at the point I can say I can assess a training without having watched the training outside on the pitch. Yeah. In the daily practice, it's a normal routine now for the players to wear the first beat belt and also the bra with the logos for the tracking, running metrics. In the beginning, they complained a lot about wearing the belt and they didn't understand why they should wear. But yeah, we wear it in every training session we do. Yeah, the new Life app has offered us a new opportunity to track individual trainings, for example, rehab or when they have to do a run in the forest or a bike session in the forest that was not possible to track and monitor in the past. So.
Oh, so you're able to use both systems. You'll use the monitor with the real time, and then you're also using the Live app with the iPad?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So in football, soccer, playing styles and philosophies can vary dramatically from team to team. What is your approach like when you get a new player? How are you getting him up to speed with the kind of the conditioning that's required?
Yeah, that's right. From season to season, it is a big challenge for us to manage that. Training group in the beginning of the preseason is often very heterogeneous because of transfers from other countries or leagues, youth players coming up to the first team, return of players after rehab in the off season. So the group is not very homogeneous in this time most of the years. So the problem is we coaches don't know the new players. The new players are highly motivated, but are often not really prepared for the new training style or the playing style in the Bundesliga. And also often the time to the first competitive goal is not so long. So for us, it's really important to start the preseason with a good medical and functional screening, performance diagnostic, and listen to this objective data we generate by our tracking and monitoring systems. Because a lot of players, as I told, are highly motivated and say, "Yeah, everything is fine, everything is okay." And we have to protect them and save them from injury. As you know, fatigue is one of the main risk factors for muscle injuries, and the danger for muscle injuries in this time is very high.
And so when you're doing the measurements, what are kind of the key metrics you get from first beat that you rely on most? What are the metrics that you use?
Yeah, I would say the most important are the trim and the training effect, as well in the live monitoring on the field as in the reflection after a session or in the acute chronic load work ratio curve. So yeah, trim and training effect are the main metrics we work with.
Okay, great. So we already previously talked about kind of how important communication has been between you and the players. And it seems like you've actually got a lot of trust and a lot of buy-in from them, especially just about wearing the system in general. How do you communicate kind of the data and the findings that you get to the coaching staff?
With the coaching stuff, it's quite easy because we have a coaches meeting in the morning every day. And so we give a reflection of the training day before and give our recommendations for the upcoming training sessions. But it's quite relaxed and easy with the football coaches. With the players, it's, as I told you in the beginning, they always complained about wearing the belts. And but when they understood that wearing the belt is not bad for them, but it means getting data with which we can optimize our training or give arguments in the discussions with the football coaches. So the players became more and more interested in this first beat metrics. And yeah, a lot of them want to receive the daily training report per email. So yeah.
That's great to hear such positive buy-in from the players, even at the highest level at Bundesliga.
Yeah. With the communication with the coaches, I only talked about the coaches' meetings in the morning or in the afternoon after the training. But we also use the Live app on the field. And for example, if there's a passing drill and we see that the intensity is too low or too high, we give some recommendations. If the trim is already very high, the half of the training, so we give some recommendations to the coaches to moderate the training. It's also working with our stuff.
Oh, okay, great. The real-time data allows you to help make some decisions right there on the spot, right, as far as how practice should or could continue.
Yeah.
Very cool. And that's great that the coaching staff will actually not only let you say, but actually listen to what you have to recommend.
Yeah.
Finally, we have a lot of S&C coaches listening that are looking to make their way into the industry. What would be your top piece of advice for them?
Be yourself. be authentic, don't try to act someone you're not. For me, it was always important to be authentic and work in the things I'm interested in and develop these interests and do everything with passion, follow this passion, reflect yourself and your work, never stop learning.
Well, that's great advice. You're obviously walking proof that it's worked very well for you.
The start was very, very lucky for me, I think, with this opportunity in Hoffenheim, because I was a long-term student. So, and Hoffenheim in this time was an amateur club. If I finished my study too early, I wouldn't have got this opportunity to work in a professional club. So, yeah, it was a bit lucky, but it worked.
Okay, so yeah, you benefited from doing a little extra focusing on your studies. Should we put it that way?
The practical part of the studies were important for me in this time, yeah. So,
okay, well done. All right, well, that'll be it for this episode. Thanks, Martin, for taking the time to join us, and continue to stay safe.
Yeah, thanks. Same to you. As I said in my videos, bleib stabil, stay stable.
If you like this episode and want to hear more episodes, make sure to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the First Beat Sports Podcast. For more information about us and our sports monitoring systems, give us a call at 435-363-9533, or you can send us an email to sports@firstbeat.com. You can also visit us online at www.firstbeat.com. Thanks a lot for listening today, and don't forget to be with us on the next edition of the First Beat Sports Podcast.